Today marks 3 years since the killing of George Floyd on a street in Minneapolis. You may have seen the horrific video, police officers kneeling on his neck until Floyd stops breathing. The event sparked demonstrations nationwide and calls for racial reckoning. Well, where's the country now? Let's put that to historian Peniel Joseph. He's professor at the University of Texas, Austin. In his recent book is The Third Reconstruction, America's Struggle for Racial Justice in the 21st Century. Peniel Joseph, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
2 years ago today, you wrote an article for CNN with optimism on the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's killing. You cited 15,000 people turning out in Brooklyn for a Black Lives Matter march. Breonna Taylor, after she was killed, her picture appearing on the cover of Vanity Fair. You wrote that the events, quote, utterly transformed the partisan and spiritual dimensions of American politics. How do those words strike you today? We're now 3 years on.
What we've seen now in the 3 years is that what George Floyd triggers is this national conversation and movement to talk about Black dignity and citizenship and racial justice really for all Americans. And it's going to trigger both forces of Reconstruction, who are believers in multiracial democracy, but also triggers forces of redemption, who are advocates of rolling back all the progress that we've made. And I think we've seen those two forces locked in this existential struggle for America's soul. And right now, we're not sure what the outcome is going to be.
And you wrote in your most recent book about this push and pull in American history, the three reconstructions, as you describe it. As far as your hope, I wonder what examples come to mind for you.
Well, I think there's numerous. I mean, there's Amanda Gorman and what she did at the inauguration, even as Amanda Gorman's book is being banned in Florida. There's the Biden-Harris administration, which is really a Reconstructionist administration, and all the legislation that has come out of that administration that has impacted all Americans, but especially Black people and those who've been racially oppressed. There's Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's the first Black woman on the Supreme Court. So much good is simultaneously being done, even as we focus on the CRT legislation, the voter suppression, crime, and the continued sort of criminalization of Black people and Black bodies.
Yeah. On law enforcement, by some accounts, it remains rare for officers to face accountability after the use of deadly force. There's a bill in Congress named after George Floyd to provide more of this accountability. It's stalled in a partisan Washington. As far as that conversation, accountability for law enforcement, do you see signs of change?
We still haven't passed the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. And I think law enforcement and accountability for them are really part of a larger discussion of democracy. What do we need for protection? Do we need a lot of police for protection, or do we need resources and education and healthcare and housing for all people? And is that public safety? So I think it's been mixed results, but I think the very fact that we're having that conversation that we weren't having before George Floyd nationally is really important if we're ever going to really reimagine how we live and why we have so much poverty and segregation and people in prison in this country.
I want to ask you a little bit more about your historical framing of this. In your book about the three reconstructions, you write about what's called the narrative war. There was the original Reconstruction after the Civil War, quickly led to backlash, to a rewriting of history, the lost cause narrative. As you write, the South lost the war, but they won the peace. What does the narrative war look like in regards to George Floyd?
Well, there's two narratives. One narrative is saying that, look, George Floyd's death is going to be an emancipationist legacy, transforming systems of punishment and prison and violence against Black and poor people into investments that allow them to flourish in terms of housing, in terms of education and dignity and ending segregation. Another narrative is saying, well, George Floyd deserved what he got. Maybe he wasn't murdered. That same narrative says that the January 6th rioters and white supremacists were just having a little parade wherein the police attacked them, right? So during the Civil War, it was the redemptionist narrative that won, and that's how you got racial segregation. And it's the same in our own time. And for people who might be really scared or fearful or anxious, they're living in a historical context where their behavior and actions can actually lead to a victory of one side or the other in the narrative war that we're having right now between Reconstructionists and Redemptionists. And that's what should give people hope, whether that's the next decade or the two decades from now, or generation from now, that we come to a consensus around issues of dignity, democracy, and citizenship that are more expansive than ever, that leave no one behind, and that stop scapegoating each other and our children and our children's children, which leads to the kind of world we're living in currently.
Peniel Joseph is a historian at the University of Texas. Always a great pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.